read, without your turning to it, I want to read another passage, and I want you to listen very carefully. As I read, listen very carefully. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines, now the Philistines were the enemies of God and heathen people, Philistines had stopped them, that's the wells, after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." He called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Now I want you to follow me carefully as I tell you what I just read. Abraham had digged some wells. Wells in the Bible were a symbol of God's blessing. And Abraham had digged some wells. When he died, the Philistines came, and the Philistines filled those wells up. Isaac comes along, and Isaac says, "I'm going to dig my dad's wells again." So he goes to the very place where the wells had been digged before and redigs the wells of Abraham. And ladies and gentlemen, America needs to redig the wells of our forefathers. And I want to use that in a few minutes, but now let me read for you my text. "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, 'Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites?' And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, 'What have I done now in comparison of you?'" I get this. "Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer?" Now, follow me carefully. What he's saying is this. The gleanings of the grapes of Ephraim are better than the main harvest of the grapes of Abiezer. Now, what is he saying? These gleanings are grapes that were missed in the main harvest. They have been on the vine too long, perhaps on the ground too long, and are overripe. But God said those overripe grapes of Ephraim are better than the main harvest of grapes of Abiezer. I want to talk to you on the subject. Listen carefully. The worst of the old is better than the best of the new. That's what he's saying here. He's saying the leftover, overripe grapes, the cleaning grapes of Ephraim are better than the main harvest of Abiezer. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I preach this morning. I beg you to help me. I pray you to help the people as they listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't fail to listen carefully. This is going to be a Sunday night kind of a sermon. In other words, you're going to get it. Every once in a while, I like to get a little rough with you morning glories that just come on Sunday morning. And so you like the Sunday morning sermon better than Sunday night sermons, because they're not as mean. But this morning, you better fasten your safety belt. Gideon, don't leave me. Gideon was the man who had taken the 300 men and won the battle against the Midianites. Now he, for some reason or other, had overlooked the tribe of Ephraim. Now the tribe of Ephraim was a very proud tribe. One of the most important of all the tribes of Israel was the tribe of Ephraim. The tribe of Ephraim comes up and they say, "Why did you neglect us? Why didn't you choose us to fight also?" Bear in mind, he had just chosen 300 men, that's all. And the tribe of Ephraim had came and they said, "Why didn't you let us fight with you?" Now, the truth is, Ephraim, when the battle was won, Ephraim had gone to Midian and had captured the two princes of Midian. And Gideon says, to Ephraim. He says, now you listen to me. He said, your gleanings are better than the vintage. You know what that word means, vintage wine. Vintage grapes of the fellows who fought. Now, what he's saying is this. He's saying, the old is better than Abiezer's new. I want to give you several things this morning, and this is just sort of a State of the Union kind of message. But I want to say the old in religion is better than the new. The old-time religion is better than the new. I said the old-time religion. I'm talking about real preaching. I'm not talking about some guy wearing a gown, standing up with a sissy-looking face, and giving a lecture. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about old-fashioned preaching. And that's better than the new. The old-time religion is better than the new. Preaching on the new birth is better than preaching on social ills. Hellfire and brimstone preaching is better than preaching that doesn't believe the Bible when it says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all those that forget God. I say, Gideon is saying here, he's saying that the leftover grapes, the old grapes of Ephraim, are better than the new grapes of Abiezer. And God is saying here that the old is better than the new. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, ask for the old paths. Ask for the... And by the way, in case you don't like what I'm saying or believe what I'm saying, America didn't have all these problems with abortion back when we had the old-time religion. We didn't have all these problems with the queers running around the country back when we had the old-time religion. We didn't have the dope problem back with the old-time religion. When America had a bunch of preachers that stood up and preached that book there, instead of somebody's book review or instead of some little sermonette, brother, we didn't know what marijuana was back in those days. And I'm trying to tell you, what America needs today is not Republicans and the Democrats. America needs a good dose of the old-time religion of Jesus Christ. The old-time religion is better than the new. Proverbs 22:28. It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. In Jeremiah 26:18, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham. Now, I told you a while ago what that means. Abraham had digged some wells. And the Philistines had came and filled up those wells. Just like the liberals have come and filled up the wells of the old-time religion. Just like all these new Bibles have come and filled up the wells of the old King James Bible on which this country was built. And they filled up. And Isaac comes along, and Isaac says, I'm going to redig my father's wells. And brother, we need to redig the faith of our fathers. I'm talking about the old-time religion is better than this newfangled stuff. I said the old-time religion. I'm talking about praising. I'm talking about shouting. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about separation. The old-time religion is better than this newfangled stuff. Our country cut its teeth on Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards, Dwight Moody, Billy Sunday-type religion. And the Philistines have filled up the wells with a bunch of soft and sissy kind of Christianity. Oh, I know what some of you are saying, you visitors. You're saying, well, I like this formal kind better. If you like it so well, why don't you go back on Sunday night for some more? If you like it so well, why don't you go back on Wednesday night for some more? Now, the truth is, you don't like it or you'd go back for some more. Tonight, we'll have more people in this house than we have this morning. This place is packed tonight. You know why? Because the old-time religion still has an appeal. And Gideon comes along here, and Gideon says, the gleanings of Ephraim are better than the vintage of Eliezer. The wise man said in Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmarks. Now, how did we get this new religion? I'll tell you how. We... The Jews did not have fences. They did not have what we have today to divide property. They have what they call landmarks. A landmark would be a stone, or it would be a piece of metal, sometimes a piece of wood. And that landmark would divide one person's property from the other person's property. Now what would happen is this. Nobody's going to come along and say, I'm going to steal your property. No, but a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow. And you don't know that it's moving. And one day, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. And one day you find that the landmark has been moved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, liberals have moved the old-time gospel landmark. And you look into the man. I say, you look into the man. You're just an old man. Yeah, I'm an old man. And remember when America had some decency, too. I can recall when you didn't have to have policemen walking down the hallways of our schools. I can recall when nobody knew a queer. You say, Brother Howes, I don't think you ought to use that word in public. Then don't ever do it. I'm not going to call them gays. That's for dead sure. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with America is we have left the old-time religion. That's what's wrong with America. The old-time religion is better than the new. Second, the old book is better than the new. The old book, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Our country was built on this Bible. When I was a boy, there was no such thing as the Revised Standard Version. When I was a boy, there was no such thing as the New American Standard Version. When I was a boy, there was no such thing as the New Scofield. When I was a boy, there was no such thing as the NIV. When I was a boy, there was no such thing as these modern liberal Reader's Digest translation, the American Bible Society translation. All we had was the King James, and that's all we need is the King James Bible. That Bible right there, listen to me. That Bible right there built America. That Bible right there was preached in every pulpit in this country, and that Bible right there made America the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And that Bible right there made the character America used to have. And brother, we're not going to get back to what we used to be until we get back the Bible that made us what we were. Our forefathers built our nation on the King James Bible. The Philistines came. Philistines like Nelson Publishers. Philistines like Zondervan Publishers. Philistines like Broadman Press came and they filled the well of the old King James Bible. Now, you may not like my preaching, but let's compare America when America believed what I'm preaching to America now. Compare it. We had some decency. Girls didn't go to the public school wearing a bunch of shorts or pants. They wore decent length skirts. And by the way, you go to Hiles Anderson College tomorrow morning, or you go to Hammond Baptist Schools, and you'll see what all the schools in America used to be like. But the Philistines have filled up the well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's redig the well of that old King James Bible. The old Bible is better than the new. I said the old-time religion is better than the new. I said the old Bible is better than the new. Not only that, but the old gospel is better than the new. The old gospel. What is the gospel? Number one, men are sinners. Number two, Romans 3:10, none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, what is the gospel? The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What I'm saying is, the gospel is, men are sinners, and because they are sinners, if they die without Christ, they're going to go to hell. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm sort of educated. No, I don't care, educated or not, brother, the Bible still says it. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. Then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And those not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, what America needs is for every preacher in America to preach on hell for 3 months. The gospel is, all men are sinners. The gospel is, sinners, if they die without Christ, they burn in hell. Now you listen to me. Don't you listen to these little liberal pussyfooting preachers that don't believe that book. You better hear a man of God that believes every word in that book. You better listen to me. If you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. Well, you said, Brother Hiles, I'm PhD. PhDs will go to hell if they die without Christ. So, well, I'm a millionaire. Millionaires go to hell if they die without Christ. Now, you better listen. You better hear me. The gospel is, Men are sinners. The gospel is the price on sin is hell. The gospel is that God looked down and saw that man was going to hell. And God loved him and did not want man to go to hell. And God made a plan whereby he doesn't have to go to hell. He himself became a man. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to Calvary, took upon himself the sins of all mankind, and paid in full our sin debt, and dipped his own soul into hell, and suffered hell for you and for me. That's the gospel. The gospel is all men are sinners. The gospel is sinners go to hell. The gospel is that Jesus has already been there for you. And the gospel is if you'll walk down this aisle this morning and receive Him as your Savior, then you can be born again and go to heaven and escape the fires of hell. But if you don't, you'll split hell wide open. You say you're ruining my worship experience. Good. I'd rather ruin that than ruin your eternity. Gospel is all men are sinners. The gospel is that sinners are going to hell when they die. The gospel is that Jesus has been there for you and paid the penalty for you. The gospel is that if you receive Him by faith as your Savior, you can escape the fires of hell and walk the golden streets of heaven forever. But the Philistines have come and filled up those wells. They've said you live a good life and you'll go to heaven, but they're wrong. They filled up the gospel well. They say if you lordship salvation, that's filling up the gospel well. Well, if you take the sacraments, you can be saved. That's not the old gospel. Well, if you are confirmed, you'll be saved. That's not the old gospel. Jesus looked at a wealthy Bible teacher of Israel and said to him twice, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Jesus said that. Ye must be born again. And you're not born again because you join a church. You're not born again because you get baptized. You're not born again because you take communion. You're born again because you personally accept Christ into your heart by faith. The old time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. And ladies and gentlemen, at Hiles Anderson College, we're trying to train a bunch of zealots who believe that old book to go redig the wells that our fathers digged years ago. Have been filled up with the liberals that don't believe that book's the Word of God, don't believe in a heaven that has golden streets or a hell that has fire. I'm trying to tell you, the question is that book true or not? That's the whole issue. I said, the old time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. Number four, are you ready? The old standards are better than the new. I'm talking about the old skirts that cover the knee are better than the miniskirts. I'm talking about modest clothing on women is better than the shorts. I'm talking about decent length skirts where a woman's thigh was seen only by her husband. I'm saying that's better than the mixed women. There was a day. You check and see what Carson Perry and Scott required their employees to do. You couldn't be hired in Carson Perry and Scott 50, 60 years ago unless you went to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. That was the America I once knew. Well, you said, "Brother House, you're about 50 years behind time." You better know I am. Back in the days when America didn't have a draft dodger for president. Maybe a whoremonger. Faith of our fathers. I said faith of our fathers. Living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. I'm saying the old time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. And the old standards are better than the new. I'm talking about the standard that says it's wrong to drink any kind of alcoholic beverage. I'm talking about the old standard that says it's wrong to go to movies.
I'm talking about the old standard that had decent music and not rock garbage. If you don't like what I'm preaching, I don't all dare you do something. Next time they have a rock concert at the Civic Center, go down there the next morning. See what it looks like. Just walk down there, drive down there, and see what it looks like. Then you go down there after First Baptist Church has used it and see what it looks like. You sit with the house, what's the outstanding thing about the old-time religion? It works. That's why employers want to hire Howells Anderson College students. It works. The old standards. Satan has filled the well of the standards with a spineless, gutless, convictionless, compromising religion. It's time for us to redig it. If you don't believe what I'm preaching, trot your folks out. Let's compare our teenagers. Hey, trot your college students out and compare them. I'm talking about now, I'm talking about decency, I'm talking about paying debts, I'm talking about working hard, I'm talking about law-abiding citizens. Trot your college students out and compare them with Howells Anderson college students. 50 years ago in America, Purdue University, Indiana University, all the universities had the same standards that Howells Anderson College has today. The old-time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. The old standards are better than the new. Standards where men didn't wear earrings. They still don't. Standards where men got haircuts. They still do. Standards where men dressed like men and women dressed like women. I wish you could have known the America that I once knew. I wish you could have known the America where nobody knew a draft dodger. He wouldn't have been chosen garbage collector, much less President of the United States. Hey, sit down up there. That's enough walking around. You listen to me. Our country is going to the devil, and everybody knows it. And everybody's got the answer except the answer. Turn on the average talk show. In fact, don't do it. But if you do, you got a bunch of self-styled experts that give what they think is the answer. The answer is the Word of God, the old book, the old gospel, the old salvation, the old type of life we used to live. I say the old book is better than the new. The old-time religion is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. And the old standards are better than the new. He said the best grapes are those Ephraim grapes of the gleanings. Not only is the old-time religion better than the new, and the old book better than the new, the old gospel better than the new, and the old standards better than the new, the old soul winning is better than the new. I'm talking about walking up to somebody and saying, "Sir, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" I'm talking about zealots. And the whole issue is there a hell or not? Years ago, I was preaching at the Bill Rice Ranch. I used to go there every year. We were taking a horseback ride up to the mountain for a cookout breakfast before dawn. I was riding a horse, and right beside me, a fellow came up, a young man came up, and he was riding a horse. He said, "Dr. Howells, could I ask you a question, please?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "I'm a young preacher, and I'm trying to decide whether to be a deeper lifer with formal worship service or be a hellfire and brimstone preacher." He said, "I want your opinion." I said, "Is there a hell?" He said, "Dr. Howells, I'm asking your advice. Should I be a hellfire and damnation preacher or a deeper lifer?" I said, "Is there a hell?" He said, "You going to answer my question?" I said, "Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? If this Bible is true, ladies and gentlemen, there's a hell.
And if there is a hell where people who die without God go there and burn forever, what kind of a Christian wouldn't try to get everybody he could to trust the Savior and escape the fires of hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? If there is, let's tell the world about it and tell them how they don't have to go there. The old-time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. The old standards are better than the new. The old soul winning, better than the new. I got a call from my mayor of a little town nearby here. He said, "Reverend, your people are going soul winning here. They have to get permission to go soul winning." I said, "They have it." He said, "They have a permit?" I said, "Yeah, it's called the King James Bible." He said, "Reverend, if any of your people come to our town next Saturday to go soul winning without a permit..." Brother, let me tell you something. No mayor is going to tell me whether I can go soul winning or not. If a guy can stand out here on the middle of the street selling roses, I can go soul winning. Bunch of little short-skirted girls showing their thighs in public and stirring the lust of men can sell money to buy a new cheerleader outfit. I can go soul winning. He said, "If your folks go soul winning Saturday, next Saturday in our city, they'll be put in jail." I said, "Can your jail take care of 3,000? Because that's how many I'm sending out there next Saturday." Well, he said, "Reverend, just tell them be careful. Nobody's trying to get anybody to join a church. Nobody's trying to get anybody's money. We just believe that people that die without Christ go to hell, and folks that die with Christ go to heaven, and we want the whole world to go to heaven. That's what it's all about." The old soul winning is better than the new. Number 6. The old preaching is better than the new. I was driving down the street in Hammond the other day and drove by a church. It said, "Reverend Ms. So-and-so, pastor. She'll be home making brownies." My Bible says that a woman's not supposed to speak in the church. They speak enough outside the church to make up for it. I'm talking about preaching. The old preaching. The old country preacher. The old leather lung preacher. The old preaching is better than the new. Down in Texas years ago, we had a guy named Bill Harrod. Bill Harrod was not scholastically trained, but he was God-called. He preached out in West Dallas, out in the toughest section where a bunch of drunks and truck drivers lived. And Bill Harrod was mean as the devil. I don't mean wicked. I mean he was hard preaching. There's a fellow in the neighborhood there who was beating his wife. His wife talked. Bill was preaching revival under a tent. And this lady talked her husband into coming and sitting out in the car and rolling the window down. And Bill Harrod preached that night on men, why men who beat their wives and come and sit in the car and roll the window down and hear the sermon, going to go to hell if they don't get born again. The next night the guy came, got out of the car and sat on the fender. Bill Harrod preached on the subject, why men that beat their wives and come one night and sat inside the car, the window rolled down, and sat next night on the fender, going to go to hell if they don't get born again. Next night, leaned up against a post back in the back of the tent. Bill Harrod preached on why men who 2 nights ago sat in the car, rolled the window down, next night to sit on the fender of the car, and tonight, or back yonder, leaned up against the post, they're going to go to hell. They don't get born again. Some of you people never knew anybody like that. And that's why this is so strange to you. Next night, Bill Harrod had a seat on the back row. Not Bill Harrod, the guy. Bill Harrod preached on the subject, why men that sat in their car 3 nights ago
selling a fender two nights ago, leaned against a post last night, sitting on the back row tonight. You're going to go to hell if you don't get born again. Next night, the guy was down closer. Bill Harrod preached on why men that four nights ago sat in the car and rolled the window down. The next night, sat on the fender. The next night, leaned against the post. Next night, sat on the back row. And the night's right there. Going to go to hell if you don't get born again. The guy came down the aisle and got born again. Do you call that preaching? You call it preaching. And it dead sure beats this formal book review garbage they call preaching now. I can show you books. I can show you books that give a preacher his sermons for a year. In fact, I'm preaching number 31 today. Shoot. Oh, God, give us some men behind the pulpit. Men. Our country's full of Robert Shulers. Not a single boy out there says, that's what I want to be when I grow up. But there are boys all over this room right now saying, boy, when I get older, I'd like to blow my stack like Howes is this morning. There's hardly a Sunday passage what some young man doesn't walk down his aisle and give his life to prepare to preach the gospel. Let me just show you. How many of you are preparing? You may be in grade school, junior high school, or college, but you plan to preach someday. Stand up, would you please? Now, thank you. They didn't surrender under Robert Shuler. Or Pope John. They surrendered under somebody that old-fashioned foghorn preacher. Where I grew up, brother, if you weren't hoarse when you got through, you pussyfooted while you're preaching. If you weren't hoarse on Monday, you didn't preach on Sunday. Old Red Shaw, old prize fighter, got saved. He and I were preaching together one night outside. And the old Red boy, he did that and the June bug went in his mouth. Old Red Shaw stopped and said, Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. Amen. Chewed it up and swallowed it and kept on preaching. Of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire and sword. America had some character back in those days. I said the old time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. The old standards are better than the new. The old soul winning is better than the new. The old preaching is better than the new. And the old church is better than the new. The devil has filled up the well of the local church with universal church, invisible church, but there's no such thing. The old-timey churches. Oh, I remember my old preacher when I was a boy down in Dallas, Texas, out in the ghettos. Sometimes we'd only have one unsaved person in the church. And we'd sing invitation. That guy sitting, say, on the second row here, preacher would sing, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. And the preacher would go, see on the portals he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home. He's coming, yeah, right. And he was about 6'4", and you were afraid not to come. And down the person to come, just like he is going then. And old Sister Johnson had come unscrewed. She had come down the aisle shouting, praising God, having a spell. Oh, glory! Oh, glory! Oh, glory! Boy, that you said, Brother Howes, that'd mess up our worship service. It needs messing up. Boy, I'm so hungry for something real, I don't know what to do. I say the old-time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. The old standards are better than the new. The old soul winning is better than the new. The old preaching is better than the new. Abraham Lincoln said, if a preacher doesn't look like he's a windmill, he don't like to hear him. Abraham Lincoln, the president of the United States. He said, if a preacher doesn't preach like a windmill, he don't want to hear him. Now, may I show you how windmills... That's what we used to have in the White House. Now they've got Hillary. Talking to someone today who's had your prayer well stopped up. There was a day when you walked with God in prayer on your knees. The Philistines have stopped up your prayer well and very gradually have moved the landmark. I'm talking to somebody today, your Bible was a day when you read that book and you read it page after page every day. But your Bible well has been stopped up with the Philistines and you need to get that old shovel and re-dig that Bible well. I'm talking to folks today, your bus route well has been stopped up. I'm talking to folks today, your soul winning well has been stopped up. Your standard, your conviction well has been stopped up. Today you need to get the old shovel out and redig the wells. Those grapes of Ephraim. Not the main harvest, the gleanings. The ones on the ground are overripe on the bush of the vine. Those overripe grapes, those are better than the other grapes in the land. The old grapes were better than the main harvest of the other tribe. And ladies and gentlemen, the old time religion is better than the new. The old book is better than the new. The old gospel is better than the new. The old standards of propriety and modesty. Back when you went, if you went to a movie, they wouldn't even allow a female and a male to get in the same bed together. You had to have twin beds in the movie. Back when the word divorce was an ugly word. Back in the days when if a lady wore pants down the street, somebody thought she must be a prostitute. You say, "Brother Hiles, I just don't agree with you on your standards. Check the country and see how she did and how she's doing." I drove down the other day down Lyman over here. It's time for school to start, and I saw those females going to school. I mean shorts up to here. And I asked myself, how in the name of common sense can those men teachers teach those girls with them displaying their merchandise right there in the classroom? I double dog dare anybody in Hiles Anderson College, Hammond Baptist Schools, to come to school like that. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, America's going to the devil. And this the modern psychologist doesn't have the answer. He's the problem. You see, your trouble is, son, the fact that you shot that person or the fact that you robbed that bank is because your mother didn't burp you on the right side when you were a boy. And your daddy didn't take you to watch the Cubs. That's what made the guy a bank robber. He saw the Cubs. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, America is bankrupt for character. She's bankrupt for decency. She's bankrupt for virtue. She's bankrupt for character. Why? We've left the old gospel. We've left the old book. We've left the old time religion. We've left the old standards. We've left the old church. We've left the old soul winning. And I'm talking to folks today who need to get back to it. If you're here this morning, if you go to heaven, it'll be because you believe the old gospel. Why don't you say this morning, I know I'm a sinner, and I know sinners are lost, and I know Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin, and I'm going to trust Him as my Savior. You leave that seat in the balcony or on the lower floor, wherever you are, and you come toward the aisle down to the front. There'll be a man at the end of the aisle. You tell that man you want to receive Christ. Watch that fellow out here, please. Hey, guards. You walk down this aisle, and you say, I'm going to say yes to Christ. Look at me. Look at me. And you make that decision, that'll mean heaven forever and help you to escape the fires of hell. The old gospel. The old gospel. A communist and a Christian were talking on a street corner. A man walked by, and the communist said, "See that man right there? Communism can put a new coat on that man." And the Christian said, "Yes, and Jesus Christ can put a new man in that coat. And he can put a new man in that coat you wear today if you'll trust him as your Savior." In a few moments, we're going to stand. The choir's going to sing. If you've never taken the old-time gospel of Christ, you walk down the aisle and put your trust and faith in Christ. The old gospel. The old gospel of I'm a sinner, headed for hell, but Jesus has paid the price for me. And I'm going to trust him as my Savior today. Walk down the aisle. Say yes to Christ. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Leave your seat. If you've been saved but have not yet made it public, you come. If you've been saved but not been baptized, you come. By all means, if you've never trusted Christ, come as the choir sings. Don't wait. Come on right now. Other